We hope you enjoy this episode of the Modern Divorce Podcast. But first, an important message for our listeners.
Embarking on a new chapter? Zach Knutzman of the Darwin Wall team at Realty One Group is your go-to real estate expert in Arizona, specializing in guiding couples and families through their real estate needs while experiencing a divorce. Modern Law's trusted partner, Zach, brings expertise, confidence, and compassion to your real estate journey. Let him help you navigate this challenging time. Zach Knutzman, your modern solution in real estate.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Modern Divorce Podcast. I'm your host, family law and divorce attorney, Billy Tarasio, owner of Modern Law. And today I am joined by a local real estate agent, Zach Knutzman, who is specializing in helping couples going through divorce who need to sell their homes. Now, I'm so glad to have you here because the real estate market's all over the place. When my clients need to sell, they need to sell. So there's a lot that you and I can talk about today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it, Billy.
How long have you been in the field?
I've been working in real estate for 5 years now.
Okay. And what part of the valley are you located in?
So I work primarily in the East Valley. I mean, I work all over, but most of my business is done in the East Valley.
How did you end up focusing on divorcing couples?
Yeah. So, I mean, it all happened kind of by chance. I had a transaction for a client that I had worked with previously to sell him a home. And a couple years later, they ended up splitting up, getting a divorce, and they called me back needing to sell a home. And so kind of going through the process, I saw that, you know, a lot of what's involved in the transaction is the same as a normal real estate transaction, but there also is a lot of unique aspects to it as well. And I've worked on both sides of the transactions before. I've represented buyers purchasing a home from divorcing couples, and I've worked with sellers. And I see that not every real estate agent really can handle the stress, I guess you could say, that's involved in the process of working with a divorced couple, because there are a lot of high emotions involved and things like that. So I saw an opportunity there, and I kind of dove in, started taking more classes to kind of learn the niche in the field a little bit more. And after that, it just kind of blossomed into, you know, an actual like niche for me to kind of focus on. So
I love that. So what are the differences between a normal real estate transaction and a real estate transaction with a divorcing couple? And I'd love to talk through that both on the buyer and the seller side.
Yeah. So procedurally, I mean, it's pretty much the same. I mean, as far as, you know, the marketing, the home, marketing of the home goes, you know, pricing strategies, marketing strategies, you know, things like that. I think the biggest difference is really just the managing of the emotions in the transaction. I mean, like I said, I mean, there are a lot of high emotions involved in things like that. I've worked with both situations, you know, amicable divorces where the couples understand it's in their best interest. They just want to get the property sold. They're pretty easy to work with, but I've also worked with more contentious divorces where the couples literally get to the point of where they're not even speaking anymore by the end of it all. So really just being able to, you know, navigate, you know, those challenges, maintaining an open line of communication and remaining that neutral third party in the transaction to really coach them on, you know, keeping the bigger picture in mind and stuff like that.
So when you are going through this process, who is your client?
So if it's someone that needs to sell, both parties are going to be my clients. So for a divorcing party, they're always going to have the first right to kind of hire who they want to handle the real estate transaction. Again, and not every situation are those parties going to agree on things. And so, I mean, it could get to the point of where they just can't agree on a real estate agent and maybe someone is appointed by the courts or something like that. But I think the courts and everyone involved would prefer that the divorcing parties kind of choose who they want to represent them in the sale of the property and stuff like that. And I think it's important for them to make a decision and agree on someone that they trust to kind of handle the process for them rather than having a court appointed, you know, person come in and kind of handle things for them.
If a home is owned by one spouse because the other spouse signed a disclaimer deed, can you list the property with only the owner's signature, or do you need both people's signature to list the property for sale?
It can be kind of tricky. I mean, Arizona is a community property state. So with married couples, even if the property was acquired by an individual before marriage happened and things like that, a court could look at it and say, hey, this other party had equitable interest in the home. They've been making, you know, mortgage payments on it, or the mortgage has been paid from a joint bank account, things like that. So it can get a little bit tricky. Now, if there was documentation signed previously, you know, through like a prenuptial agreement, postnuptial agreement, things like that, showing that that property is owned, sole, and separate by one individual, then you can usually just get one party's signature. But it can be a little bit tricky and it can be a little bit of a gray area. But typically in a real estate transaction, even in a normal real estate transaction, you can proceed on a listing with only one party's signature. You don't always need to have both parties' signature to proceed with the listing.
Okay. I didn't know that. So certainly if it's owned by one party, you can move forward with only that party's signature. But if it's owned by two parties, you can still list that property even if only one person wants to list it for sale?
You can list it, but I mean, there can be challenges involved as well, because if that other party wants to kind of fight you on it, I mean, that's where it can kind of end up back in the courts and stuff like that. So ideally, I'm always going to want to talk to both parties and have both parties sign the listing agreement, because it's just going to make for a much smoother transaction if we can kind of get everybody on the same page.
Definitely. Now, what happens when one party wants to list it for a lower sales price than somebody else, than the other party?
Yes. So that's, you know, a problem that you run into quite a bit. So if we're to a point of where we just cannot agree on a sales price, and what I like to do ahead of time is come in with all the market stats, comps, everything I can do to show them, here's what comparable homes in the area are selling for. Here's the range I think that we can get for the home, and try to come to an agreement, you know, on a price. But that's not always going to happen. So my recommendation in that situation is we hire an appraiser, get a professional appraisal done on the property, because we know at the end of the day, if a buyer comes in and they're taking a mortgage on the property, it's going to have to appraise for value in order for that mortgage to, you know, close and things like that. So in that situation, I think that it's good to get that neutral third party to come in, appraise the property, and kind of use that as our starting point for where we're going to list the home.
That's a great idea. And who would pay for that appraisal?
I mean, typically the, you know, the sellers or the homeowners are going to be the one to pay for the appraisal. But at the end of the day, I think it's in their best interest to get it done, especially if they're not able to agree on something, on a number, because ultimately my goal as a real estate agent in any transaction, but especially here, is to maximize, you know, the value of the home for them, make sure we're selling it for the highest value and putting the most money in their pocket at the end of the day. So if we really just can't agree, I mean, an appraisal probably going to run you somewhere around $400. I think it's an investment well worth it to make sure that we are maximizing value on the sale of the property.
I do want to bring that up. So in family law and family court, a husband and wife or two spouses' interests are usually adverse. Like if one party gets 60 out of 100, one party gets 40. But in a real estate transaction, everybody's interests are aligned. Everybody wins by maximizing the sale price. And I think it's really hard for people to get out of their adversarial mindset to understand that all of our interests are aligned in this particular transaction. So how do you communicate that?
Yeah, so I think just being, you know, a good communicator and really maintaining that neutrality in the transaction is really important. So, you know, I think one thing that maybe some people struggle with that deal in this niche is, you know, wanting to take sides and things like that. Like you really have to remove all emotion out of it and just be a pragmatic thinker when dealing with it. And so again, it's hard to sometimes get people to agree on anything in these situations, as you know. Even if one party knows that something is correct, they just want to, you know, put up a fight and disagree and things like that. You know, one thing I always try to reiterate in these transactions is, again, it's in the best interest for both parties to cooperate. And I really don't want to see someone kind of hurt themselves financially long term by letting anger, you know, kind of get the best of them in these situations. Because, you know, I've seen those types of things before. You know, one party, you know, doesn't want to cooperate. They might, you know, allow the home to go in foreclosure, stop paying the mortgage, not tell the other party that they're not paying the mortgage anymore. Home goes into foreclosure, things like that. You know, we want to avoid those types of issues from occurring, because those types of things can really set people back financially. I mean, if you get foreclosed on, I mean, it's a minimum of 3 years before you're going to be eligible to purchase a home again and take a mortgage on a home. So, you know, I really want to make sure that, you know, I get that emotions can run high and stuff like that, but we want to just, you know, think rationally through the transactions and make sure that we don't, you know, ruin you financially, you know, going through this process.
These days, what's the market like here in the East Valley?
So market's still strong for the most part. I mean, I think the biggest thing that fuels it is buyer demand based off of just job growth in our market. I mean, obviously we have tons of different businesses moving operations to Phoenix and things like that. So buyer demand is still high. Inventory is still low. So we're not seeing the crazy rates of appreciation we saw 2020, 2021, 2022 when rates were extremely low and every home had multiple offers and, you know, you had to basically offer $50,000 over list price and waive all your contingencies to even get your offer looked at. I would say for the most part, even though numbers suggest we're in a seller's market, I think we're kind of in like a slight buyer's market right now.
Really?
You know, average days. Yeah. You know, you're not seeing a lot of the, you know, multiple offer situations that we saw, you know, over the last couple of years. Buyers have some room to negotiate, you know, offer below list price and get those offers looked at, maybe ask for some concessions from a seller and actually get those concessions to be used towards closing costs or buying down the interest rate and things like that. So buyers do have some slight advantages right now. I think the biggest thing to watch is just interest rates. You know, if we start seeing rates come down, which they're expected to do throughout the year, you're going to see more buyers that have been kind of sitting on the sidelines re-enter the market. And if we don't see a big increase in inventory, as a result, you're going to start to see some of those bidding wars come back.
Let's talk about interest rates for a minute. Where are interest rates currently sitting? And today's March 1st.
Yeah, so rates are kind of like in the low to mid sevens right now. So we saw at the end of last year, rates kind of started coming down a little bit. We got like as low as back into the mid sixes. And then basically from the end of November till now, we've just kind of seen them slowly going back up. So we're back into like the low to mid sevens for the most part. A lot of it just has to do with economic numbers, job reports, you know, rates of inflation, things like that. That's kind of where mortgage rates are based off of, those types of, you know, numbers and things like that. So the Fed at the end of last year talked about, you know, potential for rate cuts throughout 2024. Unfortunately, I haven't seen any of those hit yet just because numbers aren't exactly where they want it to be to cut those rates. But I'm really hoping at some point in this year, we start to see some relief because, I mean, it's expensive to take a mortgage out on a home right now. And it's preventing a lot of people that want to buy a home from being able to buy. And it's also preventing a lot of people that want to sell their home from selling because a lot of people either bought or refinanced during record low rates. And now it's like, do I want to give up my 3% interest rate to go buy a home for double, you know, the rate where I have it now? So,
all right. So any predictions on when rates might go down?
I mean, it's so hard to say. It's all just going to depend on economic numbers, honestly. So, you know, we expected rates to already start coming down by now. I mean, we saw a little glimmer of hope at the end of last year when things kind of started getting back into those mid sixes. But then again, we've kind of seen them go up since then. So, you know, hopefully if inflation numbers, unemployment numbers, things like that stay where the Fed wants them to be, we'll start to see some of those rate cuts happening throughout the year.
And right now, if someone lists a house, how long is it taking them to sell?
So it kind of depends on, you know, price range of the home and the area they're selling on in. I mean, average days on market right now, you know, at least in the East Valley, is kind of around the 80-day mark. Okay. So that's average. You know, it's not going to be typical in every situation. Like I just listed a house in Gilbert where, again, average days on market when we looked at it was 85 days, but we were under contract in 12 days. So, you know, it just depends on the home. You know, the homes that are like the move-in ready, you know, someone can just move right in, don't have to do anything. Those are typically moving faster than, you know, some homes that are like a little bit more dated. The thing I've really noticed is buyers are just a little bit more picky right now, where, you know, when rates were low and you had bidding wars on everything, people really overlooked all those types of things. They just wanted to get into a house. Now with rates where they're at and, you know, it's costing people a lot of money to move into a home, they're just being a little bit more picky. So like I said, the move-in ready homes are still moving pretty quick. The ones that maybe are a little dated or need a little bit of work are the ones we're kind of seeing sit on the market for a little bit, which is why I think it's really important when you're going into it to have a really good pricing strategy. Because you don't want to be that person like, let's price it at the very top of the market. It sits for weeks and weeks, and then we're just kind of reduce until we ultimately end up losing ourselves money at the end of the day.
Got it. Okay. So that is not a good pricing strategy. It is not a good idea to set it high and just see what happens.
I mean, to get you the best price for your home, ideally what you want is you want to find at least two people that walk into that home, love it more than any home they've walked through, and they want that home. Because then we can use those buyers, you know, kind of against each other, you could say, to help maximize the value of the home. You know, if you just have one buyer, you're negotiating against yourself. So a lot of times if a home's been sitting on the market for weeks and weeks and weeks, that buyer is going to feel like they can, you know, offer you well below list price and ask for all these concessions, ask for a bunch of repairs during the inspection period, things like that. So in my opinion, pricing it a little bit below market is a better strategy. We're going to encourage more showings. We're going to get more people walking through the house and hopefully encourage multiple offers that way.
Love it. Is there any new builds happening in our area?
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of new construction going on. You know, Gilbert, Chandler, Scottsdale, Tempe. I mean, those areas are pretty built out. There is some new construction going on, but the majority of the new construction you're seeing is going to be more in like the Queen Creek, Santan Valley, you know, Florence areas, Coolidge, Casa Grande, Arizona City. Those places are really booming with new construction right now. And if you're willing to kind of move out to the outskirts a little bit, you can still find really good deals on homes, you know, down in like the north part of Casa Grande, a lot of new construction going on. You know, in some situations, you can still find homes in like the low 300s and stuff like that, which is just impossible to find if you're looking more in like that Gilbert, Chandler, Tempe, Scottsdale area. And a lot of the new builds are offering great incentives as well right now. So they'll, you know, offer you money towards closing costs. You know, if you use their lenders and things like that when purchasing, they'll offer like discounted rates because they buy their rates in bulk. So sometimes they can offer below what the market rates are with new construction, things like that. So there are a lot of incentives you can take advantage of with new construction.
Okay. And the companies that are moving in and creating jobs, are they also out in that direction in Pinal County, or are they, where are they?
Some of them are. So you've seen like, you know, Lucid, which is like the electric vehicle stuff like that. They're down in like Coolidge, but a lot of what I'm seeing is more Maricopa County. So if you ever drive like on the 202 through kind of like that Chandler Gilbert area by Mesa Airport, I mean, tons of warehouses and things like that being built all over the place. All those have really just popped up in the last couple of years. You know, Amazon, just opened like a big data center right there off the 202 in Elliott. And then out on the west side as well, off the 303 in that Surprise area, you're kind of seeing the same thing right now with just tons of, you know, warehouses and things popping up along the highway, bringing jobs into the area.
Cool. If you are a buyer and you are buying from a couple that is going through a divorce, what do the buyers need to know?
So it can, you know, it depends on how the divorce is proceeding. You know, I represented a buyer not too long ago where we were dealing with that exact situation, and it was very difficult to kind of navigate the process. It was a very contentious divorce. Parties were not getting along. Just simple things like scheduling showings to get in there were really hard. Like our original showing that we wanted to get in, the party that was still living in the house, it was like, hey, we scheduled for 4 p.m. It's like, nope, that time doesn't work. Okay, we'll come at 4:30. Nope, that time doesn't work. Like, they just wanted to be really difficult. You know, obviously, you know, they probably didn't even want to leave the house. They were kind of being forced to sell in that situation. So they were just trying to make things a little bit difficult. But we ended up looking at the house. We ended up making an offer on it. We ended up getting it. But I just remember dealing with the listing agent on that one who was representing the divorcing couple. And, you know, she was telling me at the time, she's like, I think I just need to get out of this, you know, niche because like, I just can't handle the stress anymore and stuff like that. I mean, it was where the parties were just disagreeing on everything. So, you know, for me, it was just more, you know, talking to the agent and from my own experience, almost kind of like trying to help coach her a little bit on like the way to proceed and navigate like the open lines of communication between both parties. Because I believe in that situation, there was like a restraining order involved. The parties weren't in communication. And so, you know, one party was like, just wanted to get rid of the house. So it was like, you know, we asked for some repairs on the inspection, Binzer, and they were like, yep, whatever they need, let's just get it done. The other party was like, you know, trying to fight us on everything and stuff like that. So, you know, I think communication is just so key in this industry in general, which is one of the big things I focus on, just maintaining, you know, open line of communication with all the parties involved and just, you know, establishing and building good relationships. I'm a relationship builder at the end of the day. That's how I like to do my business. I feel like people want to work with people they like and trust and can relate to and stuff like that. So You know, that's really my focus in this industry is building relationships with my clients, with agents I'm working with, and just making sure we're, you know, staying in constant communication and full transparency throughout the transaction.
Awesome. Anything else that people should know about you or this type of transaction?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think really the main thing, you know, if you're going through a divorce and you're, you know, being forced to, you know, sell real estate, because there's a couple different options you have when it comes to going through a divorce and real estate transactions. You know, you could sell the home, one party can stay, one party can buy the other out, or there could be a coexisting relationship where both parties stay in the house, even though they're going through a divorce, they might still be living together. And in today's market, I've been seeing more and more of that just because housing is expensive. So, you know, they're kind of almost feel like their hand is forced to both stay in the house until kind of, you know, divorce decree is issued and, you know, everything like that. But I think the main thing is just like keeping the big picture in mind. I get, you know, in a lot of divorces, there's a lot of high emotions, a lot of anger, animosity going on and stuff like that. But you just have to keep the big picture in mind at the end of the day. Don't let, you know, what's happening right now in the moment affect you long term. Kind of like I touched on before, you know, don't stop paying the mortgage and let the home go into foreclosure just to, you know, kind of get back at the other side. You know, for the short term, you just got to keep the long term in mind. You know, don't let yourself be ruined financially over, you know, this situation.
That's such good advice. Because sometimes it can just be so overwhelming. You're doing so many things at once. You can't handle adding another thing to it. But you're right. The worst case scenario might be letting that home go into foreclosure because all those fees will eat into your equity. And then it'll just make it harder to move out. What about the available housing for moving out? Are there enough apartments and rentals for people who, let's say, don't go buy a house immediately?
Yeah, so rental inventory is actually a lot lower than like resale inventory right now. So when we look at our MLS, you know, homes for sale in our MLS, we're in like the 17,000 range. Homes for rent, we're like 6,500. So, yeah, there's not as many options for renting, you know, out there as there is homes for sale. You know, and it's something that you have to talk to your clients about too. Like if one party intends on, you know, staying in the house because the other party's buying them out, you know, we got to like really uncover, like, is this something that's actually feasible for you? Because now you're going from a two income household to a one income household. When that party that's buying you out is moving out of the house and you want to remove them from the note or the mortgage, now you're going to have to refinance to get them off of that mortgage. When you refinance, your rate's probably going to change. Are you going to be able to afford the mortgage now with a higher interest rate? So we got to really think about all those things. Is it really in your best interest is to move out and have a clean break from the marriage altogether? You know, again, I know there's a lot of emotions involved. There's emotional attachment to the home, but at the end of the day, we need to make sure that we're making the best financial decision, you know, when it comes to what we're going to do with that property.
Awesome. Zach, what do you like to do for fun?
Oh man. I mean, right now I have two young ones at home. So I have a 3-year-old daughter and an 8-month-old son. So most of my free time is spent, you know, with the kiddos and stuff
you
like
have
that.
No free time.
no, not much at all. So, but obviously absolutely love it. Enjoy it. You know, one of the greatest, you know, things that I've experienced in my life. But, you know, outside of that, you know, I'm big into sports. So I love, you know, watching sports, going to sporting events, playing sports. You know, I like working out, going hiking, big outdoorsy guy. I love to travel. All that kind of stuff. So yeah, I'm not really the type of person that likes to like sit still. Like I'm not one to just sit down and watch TV for, you know, hours on end. Like I always got to be doing something and moving. So.
Awesome. So how do people find you if they want to get a hold of you and hire you?
Yeah. So best way to reach me is just by phone. So either call me or text me, phone number 480-495-2698. You can also visit my website, zachsellsaz.com. You can find more information about me there, get in contact with me there, request, you know, home valuations. You can do property searches through my website. I have, you know, links to preferred vendors. You know, if you're looking for mortgage lenders or, you know, appraisers, home inspectors, you know, that type of thing. So, yeah, either by phone or by website is probably the best way to get a hold of me.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, and I hope you have a great weekend.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for listening to the Modern Divorce Podcast.
Remember, anything you've heard today or anything you read online is not the replacement for actual consultation with an attorney and does not create an attorney-client relationship. Even if you called in and we spoke to you, you were anonymous and we don't have your details and you have not become a client of Modern Law. However, we would love to speak with you, or you should seek out the advice of legal counsel or counseling or any other expert near you. And if you have an idea for a show topic or you need to speak with an attorney in Arizona, you can reach me at info@mymodernlaw.com.